Are you obsessed with Los Angeles? Head over heels in love with the City of Angels? Well, this is the podcast for you. At LifeHacks LA, we hack the best in arts, eats, and activities in Los Angeles. So join us and become an LA hacker. Baby, baby. What's up, LA hackers? It's Stefan. I'm back, your host for the LifeHacks LA podcast, where we hack the best of Los Angeles. Today, I'm very excited for this episode because it's something new that I'm going to be doing. The podcast is still very young at this point. This is only the 8th episode, like I said, but this is something that we haven't done so far in its early history, and it's something I've thought about for a while. I was thinking about Los Angeles, and if you live here, you come to realize pretty quickly that LA is so diverse that it can't really be you can't really sum it up because the areas are so different. And really, it's just a collection of areas and neighborhoods that are all very, very, very different. For example, the Miracle Mile Mid-City, that's considered LA, but it's very different than Torrance or North Hollywood or some of these other cities. So really, depending on where you are, you're going to get a much different feel and vibe. And so what I thought I would do is every once in a while, just throw in an episode where we hack just one particular area of Los Angeles. And the place I'm going to start with is San Pedro. Now, the first thing you need to know about San Pedro is, I think the technical name is Pedro, San Pedro, to pronounce it. But all the locals call it Pedro. And the reason why I know that is because I lived in San Pedro for a few years and found that out, among many, many other things. Now, San Pedro, why are we starting with San Pedro when there's so many great areas of LA to hack and neighborhoods? And we're going to get to those eventually. The reason why I wanted to start with San Pedro is because it's one of the most unique places in all of Los Angeles. It's really hard, very, very hard to describe San Pedro. You'd have to spend a lot of time here or live here to even begin to understand it. There's just so many contradictions to it. I mean, if you don't know, it's basically, it's as far south as you can go on the 110. So if you take the 110 freeway from LA and you just go until it ends, it eventually gets to a street called Gaffey. And then you take a left there and then you're like in the heart of San Pedro. And San Pedro is one of those places that has so much charm and hidden gems without, and it's totally authentic. It's not like a lot of places in LA that are cool to go to, but you know, they're almost manufactured in a way. I mean, it's kind of the opposite in San Pedro. Everything's downplayed, and then you just come across these spectacular things, some of which we're going to talk about in today's episode. But like I said, it's right there on the waterfront, and that's what's really interesting about the town overall, is that it's such an amazing location, but it's one of the few places anywhere in America, let alone Los Angeles, where you're near the water and there hasn't been a lot of development, or the stuff is very old and outdated, but it just has so much charm. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and go into, first of all, like I said, I lived in San Pedro for 2 years. I live in the South Bay now, but no longer San Pedro. And I had already lived in Los Angeles for a long time, and I had never even gone to San Pedro. And I think that's the case with many people who live in LA, like West LA, where I used to live, is you would never even think about going all the way out to San Pedro. I mean, if you're going to drive that far, you normally would go to Malibu or Santa Monica or whatever. But my sister ended up moving to San Pedro years ago, and that was the first time that I spent time there. So I remember the first time I drove out there, I was like, wow, this is crazy. I'll tell you about the first time I drove out there. So I drove out there I used to live in West LA at the time, right by the Grove. And I drove all the way out there and I was like, wow, this is crazy. This thing never stops, you know? I mean, the freeway just kept going and going and going. And there's, just started looking very industrial. You're going through Lomita and Wilmington and all these places. So anyway, I was like, wow, there's not much to see here. And you get off on the 110. Like I said, the freeway literally ends. You get to a stoplight eventually when it seems like you've driven forever if you're coming from Los Angeles. And you take a left. So I take a left. I'm driving down the street. I come to the first stoplight. And nothing exciting here. It's just a busy street with stores on either side, mostly like fast food and liquor stores and stuff like that. And out in the street, these two guys come out and they're fighting or something. And it was crazy because they were just totally oblivious to all the traffic. I mean, there was traffic on both sides. They were running back and forth between the lanes. So, I was going one way, there's cars coming the other way back towards me. And these guys were running in and out of it, just totally oblivious to what's going on, clearly on drugs. And that's kind of what my first introduction to San Pedro was. And I'm not going to lie, it's a little bit of a fitting introduction because there is a ton of homeless and drug addicted people that run around San Pedro, especially in the downtown area. So that's what you got to know up front. In fact, when I was doing a little research on this episode, I typed into Google San Pedro, and the first thing that comes up, you know how it has the auto finish in Google? It said, is San Pedro safe? That was the number one question because it does have a reputation for that. So just want to throw that out there. But it's like anywhere else. I mean, if you just pay attention to what you're doing, but there's homeless all over Los Angeles. We all know that it's a big problem. But there seems to be even more here, and I think it's because one of the reasons is because, like I said, it's way on the 110 at the end of the 110. So I think it might be a part of it is just a out of sight, out of mind thing. They're trying to get them out of the nicer areas in Los Angeles, touristy areas, and they throw them here. But and then also I just think they have services here as well. But anyway, that's a warning to you is that there's so many hidden gems and amazing things in San Pedro that are going to blow your mind. But you will probably, if you're driving in the downtown area, you might come across some craziness. So anyway, so that's what kind of, the first place I moved in the South Bay was San Pedro, and that kind of drew me in, just being near that ocean air and ocean water. And so I think everyone has a place in LA. I love all of LA, obsessed with Los Angeles, but the place for me to live, I think, is the South Bay, and San Pedro was my introduction to that. And that's why I always have a special place in my heart, among many, many other things. All right, so let's get into it. We're going to hack San Pedro. And I feel like I say this every episode, but this really could be hours long episode. There's so many cool things to do here. And we can't put everything in. So we're just going to put in what I would say is some things I personally enjoyed doing when I lived in San Pedro. Number one is you've got to make a stop at Busy Bees for lunch. Now, Busy Bees is this market. It's kind of like a convenience store or liquor store. I don't even know if they sell liquor now that I think about it, but it's just like this little market convenience store. The weird thing is it's like in the middle of this neighborhood. It's not on a busy street or anything. It's like in a super residential neighborhood. So you're driving through all these houses and then you'll see a bunch of cars parked out by this little store. Nothing special about the store. It has like a Busy Bee logo or whatever on the outside. And it's on 24th and Walker, I think. And like I said, it's very unassuming. Just looks like a normal market. But then if you go there during lunchtime and you walk in and you'll see this huge line. And the reason why that line is there is because this place makes unbelievable sandwiches, deli sandwiches, and it's kind of hidden in the back. So, like I said, it's just a normal store, like market store. And then in the back, they have this like deli counter where they make these crazy, crazy fat sandwiches, deli sandwiches that are really, really good. Like I said, if you go there during lunchtime, you're going to have to deal with a line, but it's worth it. So, whenever I go to San Pedro, I try to grab me one of those amazing sandwiches, and before I get to the rest of my day, it's like what you would imagine. They're like pretty good price, and then you could feed like two or three people with one sandwich, and they're really good. Now, my hack for the Busy Bee suggestion is if deli sandwiches are not your thing, some people don't like sandwiches. You can get a very similar vibe to what I just described in another place in San Pedro. And that's at the Chori Man. So the Chori Man is like this local LA legend. He started out serving chorizos from just one of those carts, you know, those guys that walk around the neighborhood and are yelling, and then you just run out there and grab something. So that's how this guy started. But he got so popular that he opened up his own store. You know, he's been featured in LA Magazine and all these different places. But it's very similar to Busy Bee in that it's right in the middle of this neighborhood. It's really weird. Like, it's not on a busy street or anything. You just go to this tiny little store, and it's right next to these houses, and everything they serve there is chorizo related. And I'm a big breakfast burrito person. I love breakfast burritos. And I gotta say, Chori Man had probably one of the best breakfast burritos I've ever had in my life. So if deli sandwiches aren't your thing, then I would say hit up Chorizo Man, who isn't far from Busy Bee. And like I said, has a lot of the same vibes. All right, number two, I'm sure you've at least heard of this one, and that is Angel's Gate and the Korean Bell. So Angel's Gate is this park that's on top of this big hill, and it kind of just overlooks the whole waterfront and all of San Pedro. And Angel's Gate has got a bunch of cool stuff. It's this big park, like I said. It's got this full court basketball court, and it's awesome. Like, you overlook the ocean. So if you were to type in Angel's Gate and Instagram, you'll probably see some of those shots. But it also has this big grassy field where you can play, your kids can play or whatever. They got a playground. And then they've got these incredible views, of course. But by far, the star of the show is the Korean Friendship Bell. And what that is it's this gigantic bell that was a gift from the Republic of Korea in 1976. It's massive, it's beautifully detailed, and it's probably the most popular place in San Pedro to take pictures. I'd say in Los Angeles, it's probably, you know, top 15, top 10, top 15. That whole area up there, that park, it gets very windy. So it's actually a really popular place to fly a kite. So a lot of people go up there and fly kites, especially in the spring. But I mean, really, like I said, the main attraction is that Korean Friendship Bell. It's really beautiful, and it should be on your list if it's something you haven't seen in person. My hack for Angel's Gate and the Korean Bell is that right below Angel's Gate Park is another pretty cool park. It's Point Fermin Park. And next to that is one of the most unique things in all of LA, and that is Sunken City. So Sunken City is this area. It used to be a wealthy area, and then in 1929 it collapsed and due to a landslide, and it halfway sunk into the ocean. And so now it's like this fenced off area, but it's kind of hard for me to describe, but it's basically a bunch of ruins, and then people have gone down there and done a lot of artwork and graffiti. And you're right there on the ocean with, among these rocks and the waste from those houses and all this stuff. So it kind of looks like this really cool Mad Max post-apocalyptic wasteland. And it's really a popular place for people to go, especially younger people, to go and take pictures and stuff. Now, I've got to give you some warning. One is that it's technically trespassing. I've heard of people getting tickets. I've never seen it myself, and I've been there maybe half a dozen times. You have to go either over a gate or under a gate to get to it. I would say if you go early, there's not going to be any police there. I mean, I've only gone early. I've never ever seen any police there. But also, it can be dangerous because there's these huge rocks and the ground's not that stable. So I'll just put those warnings in there. But it's definitely worth seeing. And if you want more information on how to reach Sunken City, and just more information about it in general, just go to lifehacksla.com and type in Sunken City in our search bar, and we've got more information on it. All right, number three for our Hacking San Pedro is their beach, their main beach, and that's Cabrillo Beach. Cabrillo Beach kind of sums up this whole vibe I'm going with, this whole direction I'm going with San Pedro, and then it's just like an understated place, you know, like. There's so many beaches that people drive to from all over Los Angeles. You really don't ever hear anyone talk about Cabrillo Beach. It's more of a place that locals that live in San Pedro go. And if you go there, you probably won't be that impressed when you by first look. I mean, it's very humble. But it's charming, just like all of San Pedro. I mean, it's authentic, and there's no fancy stuff around. It's not a Starbucks on every corner like in Santa Monica. There's not tourists everywhere. So if you really just want to go to the beach to go to the beach, then it's a good choice. And the thing you should know about Cabrillo Beach, it actually is one of the best windsurfing beaches in California. So it's because of those windy conditions that we talked about earlier. It draws, some of the best windsurfers in California and a local group that goes down there. But if you go out there, you can see some really talented windsurfers. It's really cool to watch. I would go out there sometimes and just watch those guys because it's pretty amazing, and they get flying windsurfing. And so that area, the locals call it Hurricane Gulch, but it's like this little, you'll see it if you go down there to Cabrillo Beach. You'll see the windsurfers right there. You can't miss them. The parking lot is like right next to the beach. So that's a pretty cool thing to check out if you're there. My hack for Cabrillo Beach is there's this cool thing that happens during the spring and summer months, and it's called the Grunion Run. And it's pretty, again, it's one of those things that's hard to describe, but if you see it, it's awesome. So basically what grunion are these small silver fish. And I know that doesn't sound exciting, but what happens during the Grunion Run is they spawn on the beaches of Southern California. And one of the best beaches to see that is Cabrillo. And what they do is they come up on the beach, and there's thousands of them, and they're wriggling around on the beach, and it's just a pretty amazing sight to see. And Cabrillo is one of the best places to see it, because not only do they kind of know exactly when they're going to come, within an hour or two, they also have the Cabrillo Aquarium there, and they'll basically, during certain times, they'll take you out there and explain it all to you. And you go out there at night. It happens at night, so it's a really cool thing to see and to experience. And so our hack for Cabrillo Beach is to check out that Grunion Run. You definitely want to. It's only a couple times a year, so you definitely want to research when it is. All right, so our next hack, which is hack number four, is to visit the Los Angeles waterfront and the San Pedro Fish Market. Now, as at the time of this recording, there's some major changes going on at the waterfront. Like I said, everything in this town is super understated, and the waterfront isn't. So if you think about like Long Beach waterfront, Long Beach is it was built for tourists. I mean, I love going to the Long Beach waterfront, but it's kind of generic, it's cool because they got all these nice bars and restaurants, and they've got that Ferris wheel, and they've got it looks beautiful at night. San Pedro doesn't have any of that. You go down to the waterfront, and there's mariachis playing, and there's it's super outdated and a little gritty, and it's not a place. It's not going to be the first place on any tourist list, even though it has harbor cruises, and it has this all this food to eat or whatever. But basically, it's a really good time, man. You go down there, and like I said, there's live mariachi bands playing. There's mostly Latinos in there, and like a Mexican culture. So you can get some really good Mexican drinks, like micheladas if you like those. But the like I said, that might change, so you probably want to go there while you can still get the authentic fish market or the waterfront as it's always been. As of 2019, when I'm recording this, they've confirmed that they're going to build a 6,000 seat outdoor concert venue right on the waterfront. So I knew that they've been talking for years how they're and right now they're in the middle of construction of how they're going to wipe out that whole thing. They got rid of a bunch of the stores that were at Port of Call, which is this little shopping market right next to the fish market. They basically were knocking all that down. They're in the process of doing it right now as I speak, but this is the first I've heard about this 6,000 seat outdoor concert venue. So that's going to be huge, and I think that's what they're going to do to try to draw more tourists to San Pedro. But apparently someone got the memo, and they're like looking at all this money that Long Beach is making right next door with their waterfront activities, and it looks like they're going to do the same in San Pedro. I am torn because I really love the authentic culture that happens at the current San Pedro Fish Market, and I just don't want them to turn it into another one that's got a Starbucks in every corner and just super generic and nothing is unique anymore. But hopefully they'll do a good job because, to be honest, it is super, super outdated. I mean, it looks like some of these stores are stuck in the 60s. I mean, and they haven't been updated since. So, and you know, if the town can make money and it's what good for the town, then that's probably a good thing. All right. Anyway, my hack for the Los Angeles waterfront and the fish market is to visit the world famous San Pedro fish market. So that's kind of called the LA waterfront port of call and the fish market, but there's a specific restaurant called the San Pedro fish market. And I got to be honest, like I said, I love the vibe of port of call. I love the waterfront in San Pedro, but most of the food there is pretty crappy. Like it's honestly kind of gross. But the fish market, the San Pedro fish market, is famous, and there's a reason why, because it's really, really good. What you do is you order this gigantic seafood tray, and it's just packed with shrimp and bell peppers and potatoes and garlic bread. And you can probably feed 2 to 3 people with it, unless you're just huge eaters. But you know, you grab a beer, you grab this huge tray, and they just pack it with all the stuff I just mentioned, and you just throw down. It's a really good time. It's an experience. So, my hack is for the LA waterfront is to eat at the San Pedro Fish Market. It's a must if you're there. So, all right. So let's move on to number five, and that. Oh, sorry. This is number six. Hold on. Is this number five or number six? I don't know. I don't remember. But this is the next one, and it's a visit to Royal Palm State Beach and White Point Park. Now, these are two parks that are right next to each other in San Pedro. And they're, when I say park, I mean they're parks, but they've got an ocean view with cliffs. So if you've been to Palos Verdes, you've seen these amazing hikes that people do that have these cliff views and you hike down to the ocean. It's similar, but it's in San Pedro, so there's less people. And it's equally spectacularly beautiful. It's one of my peace spots. I used to go there, meditate sometimes, especially in the morning, there'd be nobody there. But let me just try to describe this place. So, above, when you first pull up there, there's White Point Park, and it has this little kids' playground, and it has these kind of like this garden walking path with benches, and it's got a lot of shaded spots so you can just sit down and chill. But again, you're looking out, and there's the ocean as far as you can see, and there's these gorgeous cliffs. It looks like you stepped into someone's vacations postcard. I mean, it's really beautiful. And like I said, if you're familiar with Rancho Palos Verdes, then you can get an idea of what this is like. All right, so White Point Park is on top, right? But then you can drive down this steep, steep hill, and if you turn right at the bottom and you park, you can walk over to what's called Royal Palm State Beach. Now, Royal Palm State Beach has a fascinating history. So, basically, in the 1920s, they discovered some hot springs there and they created a resort. And the resort was started by these two Japanese brothers, I believe. I don't remember if they're friends or brothers, but basically by two Japanese guys. And that'll become relevant in a minute. Anyway, that was in the 20s, and then it was badly damaged by an earthquake in the 1930s. This resort, this like high-end, beautiful resort right on the ocean. I mean, this is feet from the ocean. So, like I said, they were Japanese, and the hotel was already damaged in the 1930s by that earthquake. But then, when the bombing of Pearl Harbor happened, and you know, there was that unfortunate history where Japanese Americans were put in prison camps basically, and that was especially prevalent in California or Los Angeles area. The most of the customers of that resort were Japanese, so that was kind of like the death toll for that resort. The earthquake, along with this internment of Japanese Americans who were most of the customers there. So it kind of just sat abandoned for, you know, all those years. But in 1997, they put in some park, or some, yeah, some like park, picnic tables. That's what I meant to say. Picnic tables. And they made it, and they put in a restroom and they made it a public park. But it's really cool because you can kind of still see some of the ruins of this fancy resort that used to be there, like the stone cobblestone steps and this huge stone fireplace, outdoor fireplace. And like I said, this is just feet away from the ocean and these spectacular views of the cliffs. So it's really something to see. It's a really cool place to take pictures and stuff. And again, like almost everything on this list we're talking about, only locals pretty much go to it. You're not going to go there and there's going to be a ton of tourists because they're going to these other spots like Santa Monica or Malibu or whatever. But anyway, let's get to my hack for Royal Palm State Beach and White Point Park. So my hack for this is, I had mentioned that you drive down the hill and then you take a right to go to Royal Palms, that resort I've just been talking about. If you go down the hill instead of taking a right, you take a left, there's actually some tide pools right there. And like I said, if you're familiar with Palos Verdes, then you'll know that the tide pools are super popular because they've got some really cool ones in Palos Verdes that people go to. But most people don't know about the one in San Pedro. And it's actually way more convenient than the one in Palos Verdes because the one in Palos Verdes, unless you want to hike, the one in Palos Verdes, you park in this parking lot, you got to pay, and it's not cheap either. And then you got to hike all the way down to these amazing tide pools. But the one in San Pedro, the parking lot is literally right next to where the tide pools are. So you don't have to pay, I don't think, unless it's just like a. I don't think you gotta pay. I don't remember seeing any meters. If you do pay, oh, you know what? You might have to pay before you even drive down there. But anyway, it's cheaper than the other one. And the problem with the other one is a lot of times it just fills up, the one in Rancho Palos Verdes. But anyway, the Pedro one is more convenient. Just trust me on that. And you just park right there, you're right next to it, and then you can check out the tide pools right there. All right, so the final one, the final thing on our list for hacking San Pedro is historic downtown San Pedro. Now, downtown San Pedro is very much like what we've kind of said about San Pedro in general. You go there and you're not probably not going to be impressed just by the looks of it. It's very small. Things look outdated and it's very but it's understated and it's got that charm that I've been talking about where it's kind of hard to put my finger on it. You have to go there and see it. I mean, how many cities in LA can you go to where the downtown is quiet and peaceful and you kind of just walk around and go to these different stores? I mean, most of the places are, you can't find anywhere to park and there's people everywhere, tourists everywhere, and that's great, but sometimes it's nice to get a change of pace, and that's what you're going to get at downtown San Pedro. And they, even though it's not packed with people, it's got the goods. I mean, it's got a wide variety of food from Mexican to Greek, Italian, Japanese, and more. It's got a lot of ethnic food that's really, really, really good. And of course, they've got a few bars where you can grab a drink, and you're minutes from the USS Iowa, big tourist attraction, and the waterfront that we've been talking about. There's a lot of cool things in downtown San Pedro, but one that's historic is the Grand Theater. I've actually not been there myself, but that's like an historic, it's called the Warner Grand Theater. It's a historic theater that's in San Pedro. I've got to hit that up because it's very well known, pretty famous. Another thing when we're talking about downtown that you want to keep in mind is, like I said, it's kind of understated and quiet, but when it really, really comes alive and it's just amazing is the first Thursday of each month when they have their art walk. So their art walk, they've got food trucks and music, and it's a lot less commercial than these other art walks. So what I've seen with art walks, I love art walks. They're really cool. You walk around, you see the artists sharing their works, and you've got, the food trucks, the music, whatever. But a lot of the ones, they're pretty commercial, or at least they're going that way. But this one in San Pedro is, there's that word again, authentic. It just seems more authentic. Like it really seems like you're dealing with small business owners who live in the area instead of any type of big corporations or anything like that. Anyway, that's just the vibe I get, is that it seems more authentic to me. And it's pretty awesome. I love First Thursdays for San Pedro because that art walk is really, really cool. All right, so our hack for downtown San Pedro is a warning, and that is, well, a suggestion, I'd say. There's this trolley It's called San Pedro Trolley or something like that. And it's basically like this red trolley that drives you around, and it's free. And it picks you up in downtown, and it takes you to these different, like 5 to 7 different spots in San Pedro, like the USS Iowa. It takes you to Crafted. It takes you to a couple other places. But I had been saying, man, I got to do that because I haven't done it. And, I'm an LA nerd, so I've got to do every tourist thing that anything I can check off my list, right? So finally, I did that a few months ago, and man, it was the worst. It was so boring because the cool thing about San Pedro is everything you want to see is less than 10 minutes apart. All the stuff we talked about, you could probably ride a bike to in less than 10 minutes. I mean, it's all right there. But this trolley, it takes forever. It takes so long. Oh my God, I wanted to kill myself. So it will drive from one spot to another, and then it just sits there for a really, really, really long time, and then it drives to the next one. So we only went to two spots. We went from Crafted, and then it went, I don't recall where it went. Was it downtown? No, I don't remember. It went somewhere else, and then we got off on the USS Iowa stop, and we're just like, forget it. And then we took an Uber back to where we parked because all that time I hadn't taken that trolley, and man, I wish I didn't. Actually, I'm glad I did because now I see what it's like, and I can make a suggestion to you to not do it. I hate to say that because it's free and it's a cool little tourist thing, but I can't recommend it. Anyway, that is the end of our episode. That was our list of San Pedro hacks. Like I said, there's just so many to do there. Such an awesome place. Don't be like me and wait all these years to discover it. I really recommend you get out to San Pedro one of these weekends and just kind of explore the town because it has so much to offer. Don't let the, I guess, stuff you find online about it being dangerous and stuff turn you off. I mean, it's really worth checking out. And especially before they make all these changes. Like I said, they're pouring millions of dollars in to try to make it the next Long Beach waterfront. You probably want to get down here and just experience it before that happens. Not saying it won't be great after they put in the changes, but you want to, once they put those changes in, the charm that it has now will be gone forever. It might be a different kind of charm, but this charm will be gone forever. So you definitely want to check it out. All right, guys, that's all I got for you. If you have any towns that you want me to hack or neighborhoods of Los Angeles, let me know. We'll hack it. This is our first episode where we hacked an area. And like I said, I wanted to start with San Pedro because I think it's one of the few hidden gems in Los Angeles that's left. So, all right, cool. I will see you guys soon. And that's all I got for you. All right, talk to you later. Bye. Hey, LA Hacker. I hope you enjoyed that episode of Life Hacks LA, where we hack the beautiful city of San Pedro. Like we talked about in the episode, it's one of the most unique and charming areas in Los Angeles, but they are pouring millions of dollars into it now to renovate it, so it might lose some of that charm. That's why I recommend that you go there and check it out as soon as possible. And if you want more great LA hacks, I recommend you download our ebook, LA's 10 Best Hacks, and you can find that at lifehacksla.com/10hacks. All right, guys, I'll talk to you next week and take care.